Welcome to episode 53 of the Breakdown Worlds podcast. 53 as in, I can't think of anything that goes with 53.
Welcome to the Velvet.
That's what I was
My
going
name
for.
Is Igor.
That is what I was going for.
Yay.
53!
There are 53 social links waiting for you.
Right, sure. I'm sure that's exactly how many there are in the actual game. Just for our purposes, you know, for just convenience, it's got to be the right answer.
You must cultivate all of them.
All 53 of them.
All 53. To improve your standings.
You will have to give 53 gifts. Each of your 53 friends.
I don't have that kind of money with that. No.
Well, here's $53. We'll get you started.
That really helps. I see we have Anchor working again.
Yes, it does. It does work again. Thank goodness.
Yay.
That actually, it's really good because, like, I can do the episode the way it's meant to be done. We can actually segment the show out.
Yep.
And it'll be a lot easier, and I can actually produce it with Anchor. It's much easier. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. So, episode 53. We have a lot to talk about today.
Yeah.
And as I feel like we should mention just at least one more time. Guess what, guys? We're writing stuff down now.
Yep.
So we actually have an outline, and we're going to go by that outline.
Outline.
Still no guest. I am still working on getting someone from Naughty Dog on the show. I still want that to happen. So that's
I do hope that happens.
Yeah, I'm still trying to make it happen. Like I said, that tweet did get a couple people saw that tweet. The people that I wanted to see the tweet saw the tweet. I think so. I've heard other people say that several of them kind of want to take a break from like stuff like after the game launched.
I mean, understandable.
Yeah, and I get that. So that might be the reason we haven't gotten one of them yet, but I'm gonna work on it. But yeah, today's gonna be a pretty typical show, gaming news, accessibility news, and we actually have some cool stuff on the show that is gonna happen, and we're gonna discuss it. It's gonna be awesome.
Yep. Lots of big things this week.
Lots of big things. Yeah, I know.
Really packed week.
I know.
Really packed week.
It's a great week for this show.
Yeah,
it's a great week.
It's gonna be a long one, folks.
All right. Well, let's get right into it. What's up, baby? It's time for gaming
news.
Oh, it's always funny. Like it's never not funny.
Yep.
So, anyway, so in this week in
gaming news,
we have a lot of things. First thing is I for some reason, I enjoy telling you guys what I wrote for the outline for this. The first thing I wrote, Halo Infinite. Halo ouching it?
Yeah. Oh boy.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah. Boy. Yeah. So,
this just happened
let's
yesterday.
Let's discuss. Yeah, this happened yesterday.
Oof.
Halo Infinite. You guys might have heard of it. It's that game that was supposed to be the Xbox Series X's
killer app,
the launch game, the yep. game the... that was going to sell the Series X,
the game they were banking on. Basically, they're banking their entire console launch on. Really, yeah. I mean,
yeah,
oof.
That game has been delayed until 2021.
And we don't know when in 2021.
No, just 2021. That's the only thing that was said. Yep, 2021.
That means it's nowhere near ready.
And that also means it is no longer a launch title for the Series X. They are not pushing back the launch of the Series X, folks. The Series X, in fact, actually, I should have written this down too, but I guess it's good that I remembered this. The Series X, Xbox confirmed they didn't actually give a release date, but they did actually say the words, it's coming out in November.
Okay. I mean, that's so kind of what we expected.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, it is. It is. But it's cool to have a specific month now. You know, it's a nice little update. So yeah, it is coming out in November, but not with Halo Infinite.
Oof.
So, man, this is painful for the Series X.
That hurts.
I don't know what else to say other than that it there's now less reason to buy a Series X at launch.
Yep.
Personally,
I wasn't much of one to begin with.
Right. Personally, I wasn't really on that bandwagon to begin with.
Nope.
But now there's even less reason because now there's literally the only, like, there, I don't think there's a single exclusive.
There are a bunch of enhanced
things,
but they're all ports, though.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, for instance, apparently the enhanced version of Cyberpunk will be available day and date with the Series X launch, which, cool.
Okay.
But
it's also available on everything else.
Right.
Literally everything else.
It's not exclusive. It's not a system seller.
Right. No.
Oof. Now, I did see an interesting article here. I
did see that article.
I linked to it in the outline that we did. And the article basically, I really like it. I think it
was actually pretty well written. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It goes pretty deep into the whole thing. And I like it because, you know, it forces you to acknowledge every part of this. And I think that's very fair. So, like, for instance, not all of this is their fault.
Yeah.
You know, some of it is kind of Microsoft's fault, not 343, Microsoft's fault for pushing this on a deadline like this. I mean, obviously you want to because it's a launch title, but on the other hand, you're asking a developer to develop a next generation game. And this generational leap, by the way, is much larger.
It's much larger
than PS3 to PS4 or Xbox 360 to Xbox One. It's much bigger than that.
I kind of liken it to the 16-bit to the 32-bit, or even this like 32-bit era to like the PS2.
Yeah,
jump. Yeah, it's like that level, which we haven't seen in a long time.
Yeah, it's pretty big. It's pretty big. So yeah, it is a lot to ask of someone of a development studio, and then everything with COVID, which no one could have predicted. You know,
they did bring up COVID in the 343. Did bring up COVID as a factor.
One of the factors. But it's at the same time, so the article makes you look at those things, but it says, but at the same time, it is their fault a little bit too. Cause like, this is the thing that you're marketing as your big, you know, killer app. And it's on the development studio a little bit and on Microsoft to make sure that goes smoothly, you know, like that's supposed to happen. But, oh, and also, by the way, ultimately Halo is still Halo, you know? When it does come out, I have no doubt personally, again, even if it's not me, I have no doubt that it will sell well because Halo is Halo.
It's definitely going to sell systems.
It's going to sell Series X's. Yeah, it absolutely is going to sell Series X's, even no matter when it comes out. Yeah. But there's something to be said for the impressions made by a console on its launch.
Yep.
You know, it's just like, It's still gonna hurt it. It's not gonna end it. It's not gonna kill Microsoft. It's not gonna kill Xbox.
No, it's gonna hurt them. It's gonna hurt them in the short term for sure. But I think they'll be okay long term.
Yeah, they'll be fine.
I mean,
because again, the real sell here is Game Pass.
I mean,
so
really, some of the most beloved systems in recent memory had really bad launches, like the 3DS.
Yeah.
People love the 3DS, had a horrible launch.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Like, the first year of the 3DS was a complete, like, dud.
Well, honestly, I'm just being honest here. Even the PS4's launch wasn't that great.
No, it wasn't.
What did we have? We had Killzone Shadowfall.
Killzone Shadowfall, Knack.
Knack. I mean, Knack was fun. I liked
Knack. Knack was cool.
But I believe it was basically
a glorified tech demo, really, is all Knack was, though, really, when you get down to it.
Yeah, it was basically a tech demo. But, also, I heard that Shadowfall didn't go over too well with Killzone fans.
No, it did not.
So there's that. So yeah, PS4 and a bad launch. I mean, you can recover from a bad launch. Yeah. But I think it's still worth saying that this does hurt their launch.
Oh, yeah.
Because they have no exclusive to offer now. They have nothing.
Yeah. Yep.
PS5 is just like, here, there's this one, and there's this one, and there's this one.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a little problematic. you know.
Yeah. It's not good. Not a good look.
Let's see.
Not at all.
Okay. So, I think that's all I have to say about that particular item. Next item I want, I actually wrote, there's a, something I wrote in twice in the document because I want to take the approach that we have taken sometimes where I want to approach it from two different angles. The first one being the just the normal gaming news angle.
Gaming news.
So, Left 2 is getting a patch.
I'm looking forward to this patch.
It's getting a patch. This patch, from the gaming news perspective, adds a couple of really cool things. It adds, number one, grounded difficulty, which I have not tried yet. I'm not exactly... Man. I'm not eager to try it. But don't worry, I will. I'm not eager to, but I will. But it also adds another thing I'm really not eager to try at all, but I know chat's going to make me do it at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Permadeath.
Permadeath.
Permadeath. What the heck is this permadeath nonsense?
Last of Us 2, the roguelike experience.
I know. Just imagine. And on top of that, it adds two trophies. One of the trophies is for just completing the game on grounded, which, you know, it's cool. The other one is for completing the game on grounded with permadeath mode.
It's grounded with permadeath. Oh my god. Oh, yeah. I thought they were just separate, like, oh, if you beat it with permadeath and if you beat it with, oh wow, it's for both. Wow.
Unless I misunderstood, I'm pretty sure it's grounded. Whoa, permadeath. Oh,
that's hard.
I know. I think I'm pretty good at the game overall. But even I can't one-shot the Rat King. Can I one-shot the Rat King? We'll get to that later, by the way, too.
Yeah.
But even on very light, I can't one-shot the Rat King.
Oh, my God.
Oof.
I just played through the Rat King this morning, and I died probably about 5 or 6 times.
But still, you're kind of adapting to it.
Yeah.
That's good.
It helped. It also helped that I had upgraded pipe bombs, so I had 6 pipe bombs to work with, so that was real nice.
Yeah, that would help
That was real nice.
Yeah. And also, for the silly people out there, not just silly people, but for, I mean, it's for everyone, but, you know, it's kind of funny. They added a bunch of additional extra little features, like gameplay modifiers of all types, including some very cheat-like modifiers, if you'd like to be that guy. No word, by the way. I literally do not know if activating the cheats disables trophies.
Yeah, I don't know.
The game does not warn you that it will.
I wouldn't be surprised if it did.
I wouldn't either, but at the same time, the game does not warn you.
Usually when a game does that, it does like warn you, like, hey, if you turn these on...
This will disable trophies. Yeah. It makes me wonder. I don't know. Could I just... Grounded permadeath. Grounded. I will get the trophy. I'll just enable all the cheats. One shot the Rat King, dude. Yeah.
You know what this reminds me of? I said it in your stream yesterday, but this reminds me of the whole era of unlockable cheats from like the...
You know, it does.
The late 90s, where instead of doing codes, you would unlock cheats by doing certain things.
Yeah, like NFL Blitz was big on that.
GoldenEye did a lot of that.
Sports games.
Yeah.
I remember...
GoldenEye was, like, notorious for it because you actually unlocked cheats by clearing levels at certain, like, time...
Oh, wow.
...thresholds and certain difficulties. And there were not only, like, cheats, but you also had... And I think NFL Blitz did this, too. You had things like, you know, big head mode and and lots of little things that Last of Us 2 is doing. Like, you've got all these crazy filters that you can turn on.
Yeah, and I remember, Triple Play 2000 was a game that I used to play.
Never played that one.
Oh, man, that was big on the rewards thing, too. But it was super annoying about it. Like, because you'd get rewards for, you know, they were cheats, but they called them rewards. Mm-hmm. And you'd get them for doing things during your baseball game, right?
Yeah.
But it would tell you via the game announcers, it would interrupt the game to tell you you had earned one every time you
earned one. Oh, God.
So let's say you earned,
why
let's
not
say
just consolidate that to the end. Oh, let's say, my God.
Let's that's... say there was, let's say there, I don't remember what the requirements were for the rewards, like off the top of my head, but just hypothetically here, because I know this happened to me more than once. Let's say there was a reward for hitting a home run. And let's say there was also a reward for hitting a home run for 400 feet. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What would happen is you hit your home run. If you hit one home run that was 400 feet, that went 400 feet, you would get
both
the first reward, and then you would get the second reward.
Oh, God.
And it would alert you to both using the game analysis, interrupting the game.
No. Oh, my God. That's, yeah. I mean, oof. Wow.
Yeah. It was something else, man. It was something else. But getting back to The Last of Us 2,
I suddenly regret spending all my points on models because I only have 12 points right now. And it's just like, ah, man, I can't really unlock anything when this patch drops.
Oh, dude. You can unlock a couple things, but you have to pick and choose because all the modifiers are from 5 to 20 points.
Oof.
And all the renders, I mean, I guess you wouldn't really care about the renders, but all the renders are all 5.
Yeah.
But the modifiers, there's a couple things you can unlock because, like I said, it starts at 5 points. So you can probably get 2 things.
Okay.
But you have to be very choosy about what you pick up. But yeah. So the things that we're talking about here, they're gameplay modifiers like unlimited ammo, infinite crafting, touch of death, so one melee hit will kill enemies all the time. Yep. One shot where a single gunshot will kill enemies regardless of where it is.
Infinite shots dead.
Right. Yeah, we did that on stream. It was great. We there's also infinite melee durability, so you can just have one melee weapon and that's all you ever need.
Yep.
Yeah, stuff like that. And then there's other modifiers too, like Helium audio, 8-bit audio, 4-bit yep. audio, and Xenon audio. All of which are hilarious.
Yep.
Let me tell you what. It is awesome. To play The Last of Us 2. Sorry.
We found the perfect combination of like what I've kind of termed the glitch playthrough.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Audio plus render.
Yeah. Specifically, the presets are the Xenon audio,
yep.
The 8-bit audio,
which can both be active at once,
and the void filter render.
Yep, the void filter.
That thing's cool. Yeah,
the void render is really cool. So what we did on my stream is we went through all of the render modes. And the other thing you can unlock are render modes, which changes the way the game looks. In sometimes small and sometimes very extreme ways. The void render, if based on the description that we got during my stream, I really do think it does sound like that one took the most work to implement.
It sounds cool. Like
becomes dark. Things around you have lost all color. Even if you're this is one of the coolest things. When I was at a workbench, every gun I put down, like Ellie would pick up a gun, put it down on the workbench to work on it, it lost color when she put it down. Like it just like kind of ceased to be when she put it down.
Yeah.
And that just struck me as awesome. And then the topper, like the cake topper on this thing, is this really cool idea. I don't know how they came up with it.
I love it.
There's a wall of code that is always off in the distance.
Yep.
It's a wall of code that's always in the distance.
Cool. I love that.
That's such a great idea.
I'm tempted to stream just a full glitch playthrough.
Oh my God. That'd be
People
so
are
cool.
going to be so confused. Like, what is this?
Like, what happened to the game?
Somebody actually came in. Our buddy Drew came in and was like, what's up with the audio? Like, the sampling rate's all messed up.
I think your PS4 is broken. I was like, oh, you don't know. You don't know.
Hilarious.
It was great. And trust me, guys, the combination of Xenon and 8-bit audio, is creepy.
It's real creepy.
It's creepy as heck because it affects everything, including the music. So it just, another level of creepy.
It definitely reminds me of Game Boy Advance games that had like the lowest like sample rate.
Yeah.
Because some Game Boy Advance games, like, developers allocated more fidelity to audio. Like, Golden Sun was one of them.
Really?
There
were some Game Boy Advance games with, like, good, like, voiced audio?
Not necessarily voiced audio, but, like, musically.
Oh,
like,
just, okay. I see.
But most Game Boy Advance games gave you a pretty low sample rate to work with, and it wasn't very good.
Yeah, the thing that popped into my head when I thought Game Boy Advance was, believe it or not, it was actually one of the Mario games for Game Boy Advance had a little bit of
Mario
speech.
Mario 2.
Yeah, it came with a little bit of extra speech that Mario had, but all of it was low sampled, like the way the audio sounds in the 8-bit filter. Yeah, so there's a lot of really cool
stuff. It's super fun. And it totally reminds me of like a 90s game of like unlocking cheats and various fun things. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
And the nice thing too, that like I feel like this would be DLC from like any other developer or most other developers. Like this patch that's
all these
in,
extra things. Yeah.
It would be a paid DLC thing, but nope, this is just a title update.
Title update that adds two new trophies, grounded mode, permadeath mode, and all these extra little modifiers and renderers is free. Yep. It's just title update.
Yep.
Everyone gets it tomorrow.
Patch.
Yeah, that's only half the patch. That's only half. Yeah, we'll get to the other half a little bit.
Speaking of breaking news, apparently.
Breaking news!
Breaking news! I literally just got a Twitch notification on my phone. Sightless is now, right now, as we speak. Just started streaming the patch.
Oh, good.
So that'll be cool.
Yeah, he's probably doing. He probably jumped right into grounded, but I want to test other things besides that. But we'll get to those things later.
Yep. And that's only half. That's only half. Patch.
Yeah, that's only half the freaking patch. So we will get to that. But first, more gaming news.
Gaming news.
Night City Wire. Episode 2 happened this week.
Yep.
The Cyberpunk 2077 show that they're doing. And they discussed a few things I wanted to tackle here. The first one is life paths, which on the surface, it sounds kind of like the way that Dragon Age Origins does it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think... I'm not necessarily saying it's going to be better or worse, but the way they talked about it, it looks very promising, the way that it's going to work. So life paths in Cyberpunk 2077 are going to be this concept of being able to choose what kind of character you are from the very beginning. You can either choose a nomad, a street kid, or a corpo. If you choose a nomad, you start the game in a place called the Badlands, which is a place, basically all the surrounding area outside of Night City is called the Badlands. You're close to Night City, but you're not in it, you know?
Yeah.
And the story unfolds in such a way where you end up wanting to go to Night City to you know, fix things. If you start as a street kid, you start in Night City, but you're very much a person of the streets. You're familiar with the underworld of Night City. You're familiar with some of the fixers already because you knew them. You know, you grew up with them. You've lived there all your life, that kind of thing. If you play as a corpo, you start out working for one of the major corporations that are kind of the... Because, you know, the whole thing about Cyberpunk is like anti-establishment kind of thing. But if you start out as a corpo, you begin the game working for one of the corporations you will eventually be going against. So that will give you...
Interesting.
Give its own little bit of intrigue. And the thing of it is, and they demonstrated this in small ways, but if it's as good as they say it is, it's going to be something else. Apparently, this is going to affect the entire game for you. Like, if you are a nomad, then you are not necessarily familiar with a lot of Night City related things. Like, you're not familiar with the gangs of Night City. You're not familiar with corporations that dwell there, because you've lived outside of it all your life, you know. But you might be more familiar with doing things in an unconventional sort of way. Like, I get the example that they gave is you have to find this transport. You have to find this technology that was stolen from this transport. And if you are a nomad, apparently you understand better how they might have done the stealing, you know, because you're like a think outside the box kind of person, because you live outside the city. You've had to live and grow up that way, where you're thinking outside the box to get things done.
Mm-hmm.
So you understand better how they might have done that and can kind of trace it better as a nomad. Whereas as a street kid, you're already familiar with the gangs. You may already have connections to some of the gangs because you grew up as a street kid. You lived there all your life. So when you're in a confrontation with someone, you know, that might be in part of the gangs of Night City, you can leverage that kind of connection to them or to their gang or to maybe even a rival gang to make your choices and to get things done. If you're a corpo, then you might have some extra contacts. You might be able to summon people that maybe they're still working for the corporations, but they're really kind of on your side. Like they're working against the corporations from the inside. You might be able to leverage something like that. Or you could just leverage your knowledge of how these corporations function in conversations and in choices you make requests. Yeah.
That sounds super cool. Man.
So your life path is going to choose where you start the game. And the whole beginning of the story is going to be different based on your life path. But it's also going to affect the entire rest of the game. They want you to feel like you're playing that character through the whole game. So
that's really cool. I like that.
Really cool and really ambitious, and I really hope they can pull it off.
Yeah.
They did a trailer that shows all three life paths, like the beginning of all three life paths, and it sounds like it's working, but it's just, you look at Cyberpunk 2077 and you can't help, if you listen to one trailer, or no, I take that back. If you listen to one of their gameplay demos they've done two over the years while this has been in development. And each one, both of them are like 50 minutes long. 50 minutes, almost an hour long a piece.
Wow.
And if you listen to just one of those, you can tell how ambitious this freaking game is.
Yeah.
So like every time I find new information out about Cyberpunk, I'm just like, really? Like, can you guys really do all of this? Like,
yeah, really.
Because they want to do so much. And I mean, I guess they're doing it because they say they're doing it, but
yeah.
And I guess this is CD Projekt Red. And I talked about The Witcher 3, which I actually haven't listened to a playthrough of, but I've heard people talk about The Witcher 3. I've mentioned this before on the show, but I'll mention it again here because it's relevant because it's the studio. People have told me, or people have said anyway, that you can be playing The Witcher 3. You can be out in the wilderness. You can find this lone house that is someone built out here in the wilderness, you know, outside, way, way off the beaten path, not where the main story quest is. Out in the wilderness, you find this house, and you go into this house, and all of a sudden, you're in a 3-hour-long side quest line. Apparently, stuff like that can happen in The Witcher 3.
Yeah.
Like, the Blood and Wine expansion alone apparently added something like 30 more hours on an already massive game.
That's ridiculous.
So CD Projekt Red really is a powerhouse of a studio.
If anybody can pull something like this off, they can.
I think they can. It's just still so impressive to witness. Like as new trailers and new videos keep coming out, it's just so impressive to witness this unfolding.
Yeah.
Like I can't wait to see what happens. And with its gameplay driven dialogue system, so like it'll feel like a conversation when you're talking instead of just like a dialogue tree. I mean, there will be a dialogue tree, but it's like to initiate a meeting with someone, you actually actively have to sit down at, you know, if they're sitting down at the table, you actually have to actively sit down, and you can choose to stand up and leave whenever you want. You're almost never, according to the developers, you're almost never removed from control. You maintain control. They said they could think of about 4 times in the entire game where control is taken from you for a little while.
Wow. In this massive game. Wow, that's crazy.
4 times.
Wow.
I mean, dude.
That's impressive.
This is shaping up to be something else. But anyway, so Life Path was only part of it. The second part of it was music. And this is just another really nice touch that I can't help but love it. So they have pulled in, and they haven't given all the names yet of people that they pulled in for this, but they pulled in a bunch of real world artists of today to make the music of Cyberpunk 2077. But what they're doing is they're making those real world artists that we know, they're turning them into characters from the lore of Cyberpunk, the tabletop lore and everything like that. Like Cyberpunk, the lore has bands already, like mm-hmm. bands that exist in the Cyberpunk universe. So they're taking artists that we know and making them these bands in the Cyberpunk universe.
That's really cool.
And each one that they've brought in, and like I said, they haven't released all the names yet. Apparently they're going to do more on the music in, I don't know, the next episode or some future episode. But they're making these artists make music for the game that is relevant to the goings on of the game. So like they're writing, actually some of them already have lyrics, like lyrics for the songs that these bands have are written in the lore of the universe. And in those situations, they're literally taking the lyrics that already exist in the lore and adapting them to their music.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that's a really great idea.
That's really cool.
Yeah, like Johnny Silverhand's band. Johnny Silverhand is the character that's going to be played by Keanu Reeves in the game. His band has, in the lore of Cyberpunk, the universe, has a song called Chippin' In. Well, the band that is playing as Johnny Silverhand's band, who are called Samurai in the lore of Cyberpunk, they have already made Chippin' In into a song that they have recorded, and it's actually already out. It's actually already released on like music services and stuff. So you can look up a band that doesn't actually exist called Samurai, and you will find a couple of their tracks because it's from Cyberpunk.
Man. That's cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just want to bring that up because it's a really cool idea, and I want to see who else they bring in. There's an artist I'm not familiar with, but they mentioned there's an artist named, called Grimes that's going to be brought in for this too, but I'm not familiar with them.
Hmm.
There's rumors that Kendrick Lamar might be invited into this.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I mean, they're taking the names. Music. Yeah, they're taking the music very seriously. And, yeah, there's going to be, just like Grand Theft Auto, there's going to be full radio stations in Cyberpunk 2077, but it's actually going to be music from the universe of Cyberpunk 2077. It's crazy.
That's
super
cool.
More craziness. The last thing is, it's a very brief thing because, you know, there's only a little bit that they can really say about it right now, but they assured us that there are lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of weapons in Cyberpunk 2077. We've already seen some of them, like the weapon, like the gun that will auto aim at targets. Like when I say that, I don't mean like auto aim in the typical sense. I mean you fire, and the bullet, once fired, will then go to its target.
Oh my god! Wow, that's
like awesome. Not auto aim in the gamey sense, but like Fifth Element kind of thing. Fifth Element actually had in the movie Fifth Element actually had a gun like that, did the same thing.
I love Fifth Element.
So do I, man. To this day, I love that game. Yeah, so Night City Wire, man. It was a good show, and that game is it could be a game changer. Like,
yeah, it definitely sounds like it.
I feel like
the magnum opus of this generation for sure.
Yeah, and please understand. I mean, there's no way I can. Everyone already understands this, but I'm going to say it again. Obviously, I love The Last of Us 2. Obviously, I do, because I'm attached to it, and I will never stop loving The Last of Us 2. But if there is a game that is going to contend with it for Game of the Year this year, it's probably going to be Cyberpunk.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I mean, maybe Ghosts as well. Ghost of Tsushima as well.
Yeah, Ghosts is doing really well right now, too.
Yeah, and that could contend, too. But I don't know enough about it personally to say whether it is or not, because I haven't listened to anyone play it or anything like that, so...
I need to keep watching Phil Stream. I watched like the first couple parts, but
does it seem good? Is it interesting?
Oh, it seems very good.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that. But yeah, that's Night City Wire was cool. It was really cool. I'm looking forward to the next episode of that, and I will watch that when it happens. That's all I have for gaming news.
Gaming news.
But before we go to accessibility news, is there anything you want to add to
that? That PS4 State of Play happened, but really there is nothing exciting in it.
I mean, yeah.
I remember.
Not really. It's
It really was kind of a nothing.
We talked about it on the show. We said it was going to happen. And it was basically exactly what we said it was going to be, which was some updates on some PS5 properties. Oh, you know what? I did do a rundown of it, though. Oh, my God. I did do a rundown of it. Hang on. I need to mention some of this stuff, though. Maybe I'll skip parts of it. But I need to mention some of this stuff. I did actually it's a pretty big file. Because I covered everything because I was watching the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, let me cover this real quick. I won't say a lot about each individual thing, but let's say they talked about Crash 4. Direct sequel to Crash 3.
Crash 4 looks good.
It sounds really interesting. Like I really like the aesthetic, like the audio aesthetic they're going for.
Mm-hmm.
No microtransactions. There are going to be skins you can unlock for the first time ever in a Crash game. You can play entirely as Coco if you want. You can play as other characters throughout the story. Kind of like a Last of Us situation, like the first game, where you're suddenly playing as someone else. That'll happen apparently in this game as well. It will have mirror mode, which is funny because that's one of the features that it just got added to Last of Us 2.
Yep.
Releases October 2nd. Hitman 3 is playable in VR. That'll arrive next January. Braid Anniversary Edition is a popular puzzle game that was on the PS3 and Xbox, I think the Xbox 360 originally?
It was.
But yeah, Braid is being released on PS5 in an Anniversary Edition with apparently hours and hours, according to the little trailer that they had, hours and hours of developer commentary.
See that. They specifically mentioned if you're interested in how games are made, check this out.
Yeah, it's gonna come with full commentary. That's gonna be released in 2021. The Pathless, developed by Giant Squid Adventure Games. Oh, it's an adventure game where there's a unique mechanic where the character gets a dash meter that builds when you shoot a bow. So, like, you basically use archery to propel yourself, to move through the world. Very intriguing.
Yeah.
I think...
That sounds like a speedrunner's dream.
Yeah, right there. I agree. Yeah, yeah, exactly. I think that might be part of the point, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the other part of the point is from the trailer, they gave a little gameplay demonstration, and I think, I could be wrong about this, but I feel like it's more like a journey-like, like a journey-esque, like you're meant to have the experience, you're meant to see the world and enjoy it, you know, for what it is. That's how I felt about it. You can also fly with the aid of an eagle. Also, puzzles because adventure game, I wrote down.
Yep.
Big open world, but no map. You peer into the spirit world to find cursed spirits you must avoid until you return light to obelisks. So, you know, you have a quest, but it's kind of very loose, I think.
Yeah.
But you're mostly meant to just enjoy the world, I think. It is coming out this year, and I put with a question mark, probably a launch title? Probably.
Probably.
Spelunky 2 was also mentioned in that event. Spelunky is a very popular procedurally generated game where you make your way through these procedurally generated caves and different things can happen along the way. And you can die, you can fall to your death, and a whole bunch of stuff can potentially happen. There's like shops that you can find. It's crazy. It's great. But it's getting a sequel with new stuff, and it's going to be on PS5. Or no, sorry, it's going to be on PS4 in September, next month.
Yep.
September 15th. Genshin Impact. I literally wrote, I know nothing about this game. I wrote, I wrote nothing about this except it sounds Japanese and and might be an RPG, maybe. But seriously, there's no details in this trailer at all. Genshin Impact is just a thing that exists, and I don't know what it is, really. But that's going to be...
cool name.
It's going to be autumn this year for PS4. Then the next thing I wrote is freaking Bugsnax, yo!
Bugsnax, yo. It was so cool to see more Bugsnax.
It kind of was. I mean, as much as people are like, the hardcore gamers are hating on Bugsnax, but you know what? It's freaking cute. I don't care what anyone says.
It's grown on me. I was kind of terrified of the concept at first.
Sure. So was I.
I was like, oh God, no.
I still sort of am, but I think that's kind of the point.
Yeah.
It's like, ultimately, when you really break it down, it's mostly just cute.
It's grown on me, though. Like,
I mean, the song especially. You can't avoid that
song. Oh, man. That song is great.
That's right. I forgot I wrote this. So they showed some gameplay footage of Bugsnax during the event. And, it kind of brought a couple things into perspective. It looks like there's going to be side quests in Bugsnax. Not kidding. Like actual side quests based on the trailer or the gameplay footage they showed. And I wrote down gameplay footage. This is why we're really here. I said, it sounds like they have quests. Freaking Bugsnax quests. Yep. okay.
I still love the smell that they spell snacks with an X.
Yeah, snacks with an X. Yeah, Bugsnax with an X. So I wrote down a couple things, but to summarize what I wrote down, Darth Vader Immortal, which is a VR Darth Vader game. It's not a Darth Vader simulator. You're not playing as Darth Vader, believe it or not, but you're playing as someone in the Star Wars universe. It is getting a new episode coming up. It is coming up... I think I wrote this down. Yeah, it's already available, and the next episode is coming out on August 25th. So, nice. Like, next week.
Cool.
So then I wrote down, OMG, Alan Wake 3, 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 Alan Wake 3. Alan Wake, 3. Alan Wake motherfreaking 3 is what I wrote down.
Heck yeah.
And then I wrote down, update. Sorry, it's not Alan Wake 3 at all. So I thought it was Alan Wake 3 because they showed a trailer and I immediately recognized his voice. He has a very distinctive voice, Alan Wake does.
Mm-hmm.
And I recognized it immediately. And it was Alan Wake, but it's not Alan Wake 3. It is, in fact, and this is still kind of intriguing, it is, in fact, an Alan Wake-themed DLC for Control, the game that Remedy produced most recently.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, so Remedy made a game called Control, which has something to do with, like, I guess, like, mind exploration or something. I don't really know much about it, honestly.
Yeah, I didn't watch a playthrough of it yet.
I didn't either. I didn't either.
I saw little tiny snippets of it, and it seemed cool.
Yeah, so I don't know how Alan Wake can work in the Control universe, but it seems like apparently he does, and he's going to have his own themed DLC in Control this month.
Wow.
I actually wrote down Control to know why. Yeah, August 27th for the Alan Wake DLC for Control.
Yeah.
I then wrote down, they tricked us. There are indeed new PS5 game announcements. You sneaky they little did. Sony, you.
They did.
So a game called Hood Outlaws got announced. Hood Outlaws and Legends. So it's called Hood Outlaws and Legends. And it's a game releasing 2021 for PS5. Don't know much about it, but, you know, it's there. Extended Godfall gameplay. No microtransactions in Godfall either, which is a good thing. I wrote down, I'm sensing a theme here.
Godfall looks so cool.
Godfall could be, has really good potential to be really good.
Yeah.
I hope it lives up to it. Unfortunately, I heard people after the event, now I'm remembering this. I can't believe I almost forgot to, thanks for reminding me that this event happened. So I did a full rundown. I almost forgot to even mention it on the show where we've been writing things down. What the heck is wrong with me? Ah, okay. All right. So unfortunately, I heard people saying after the event that the Godfall footage still looks really rough, which makes me sad. But hopefully, you know, they get it worked out. Oh yeah, 5 weapon classes in Godfall: small to large weapons, dueling blades to long swords, pole arms, hammers, and great swords. Longsword class comes with a shield, which has both attack and defense uses. And then I have a couple last-minute things out of order entries for games I didn't have the names for at the time, because I actually looked up all the things that were listed at the show, and I got all the things I didn't know and put them in here because I wanted to list all the games that I didn't know what they were when the trailers played.
Yeah.
One of them was a game called Aeon Must Die. That releases next year.
Maybe.
Really?
Yeah. There's an article that came out.
I missed this.
A few days ago. This is crazy. So all of the developers for Aeon Must Die, in the past, before this trailer came out, actually left.
Oh,
they're no longer working on the game.
Oh,
and okay. So basically, what we're seeing is like
cut together footage.
Basically, like stolen assets, essentially. And I guess like, and there's like drama with like the original IP or like, I don't know, like it's weird.
Wow.
It's real weird. Like the original creator of the whole Aeon Must Die thing, like was essentially tricked into signing away the rights for it. And he's trying to get them back, and it's a whole thing.
That's all Young, bad.
Young Yeah did a video on it. That's highly worth watching. It's like, holy crap, this is insane.
Yeah, that's all bad, man. We'll just tack on a big old maybe on that game.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll come out next year. Maybe they'll get totally canceled. Who knows? Go either way.
I had totally forgotten about it until you brought it up, and I was like, oh yeah, there's that whole thing. So
yeah
it's like, whoa.
So another game that had a trailer that I, again, this is just out of order games that I didn't have a name for at the time, Anno Mutationum. I have no idea what it is, but it releases in December. Auto Chess releases on October 31st. Of all the things to release on Halloween Day, Auto Chess,
the chess game that plays itself, I guess.
Yep.
What's a name like? What's a game like Auto Chess? I don't know.
That's what you'd think.
Yeah.
I don't know. You just watch a chess game.
Yeah.
There's a game called Pedestrian, which is apparently a platformer that releases in January 2021. Hmm. And that is the rundown of the entire PS4 State of Play, which did indeed have a couple of PS5 announcements.
Yep.
Which is pretty funny. They tricked us.
Someone weren't huge.
But... No, they're not huge, but still, someone pointed out on Twitter, like, good job, Sony. This is how you do it. You temper people's expectations by saying there won't be much here, and then you show a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Actually, that's a good thing.
Yeah. They did it well. I almost forgot about it.
Sony is kind of stepping up their game, I'm noticing, in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. Agreed. I think that the marketing train is really starting to roll now.
Yep.
Now we still need, of course, there's still a couple things we really need from you, Sony, and I hope you get those things going pretty quick. Like, you know, we want that release day, we want that price on the PS5, we want all that stuff.
Yep.
So, you know, as soon as possible, guys. There's only a few months this is supposed to come out. So
boy. Yep.
Maybe you get on that.
We're almost halfway through August already.
I know. Like, where is this stuff? Like, come on, guys. Come on.
Come in.
All right. So that, finally, is all I have for gaming news. But there's still accessibility news to talk about. Shall we do that?
Indeed.
Let's talk about accessibility
news.
It's time for Accessibility. It's great. All right. Accessibility News. Again, we go back now, ladies and gentlemen, to the Last of Us 2 patch. Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. Yeah. Because, folks, it came with... So remember how we said we only talked about half the patch before? That's true.
Yep.
Because the other half of the patch is a bunch of accessibility-related fixes.
Yay!
Indeed. And many things... By the way, I pointed this out on stream and I pointed out on Twitter, but I'll point it out here too. If anyone still is in that camp where they doubt Naughty Dog's continued dedication to accessibility, I just want to point out that every single one of these fixes is the result of player feedback.
Yep.
So, I think they're listening.
They're listening, yep.
Oh, okay.
There's some nice ones in here, too.
There's some nice ones, yeah. So to go over a little bit of it, we have... first of all, let's talk about your favorite thing in the world, the Rat King fight.
Oh yeah, totally. I love that. I love Rat King.
He's best friend of all time.
Oh yeah. Yep.
That fight has been heavily overhauled when it comes to accessibility. Overhauled. The way navigation systems works is different. It will now guide you to safer places. And I guess better places. So like I noticed when we tried it on stream that when it got me far away from him, I was very far away. Like, I had time.
Yeah, you had lots of time to work with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it got you
moderate.
Safer, further places. Traversal assistance is different in that it seems to, from what I could tell, it just seems to work better. Like, it didn't really, in the previous iteration of the Rat King fight, in the unpatched version, it didn't seem to work very well. Like, mm-hmm. The navigation systems used to guide you all these places you had to squeeze through. And with traversal assistance on, if you're running, it's supposed to do basically all the traversal stuff for you. But it definitely was not doing those squeeze-throughs for you.
No,
it was not. So you had to keep hammering on X all the time.
Yep.
I can tell you already, I've noticed you don't have to do that anymore.
I noticed in my initial like playthrough, I noticed I was surviving a lot more when I was hitting X to go through the squeeze through spots.
Yeah, because it was for some reason it wasn't doing it automatically like it's supposed to.
Yeah.
But that seems to be not a problem anymore. It did everything for traversal assistance that it had to automatically while I was running away. So that seemed to be a fix as well. Also, they did make the Rat King fight significantly easier on very light, which proves to me that there was some merit to my report, my previous report. Of difficulty on very light, which was just nonsense because it's very light. Like,
yeah,
sure, I was just playing that playthrough for fun, but some people are playing that playthrough legit because that's what they feel comfortable with. Yeah, it should not be difficult.
That's the playthrough that Liam was playing on because he was just, I just want to play through the story.
Yeah, sure. And there's nothing wrong with that. And but you shouldn't run up against a wall like that on very light, you know? So that's been addressed too. So Rat King, heavily addressed.
Yeah, because like half the time in my playthrough I felt like I was dying because like the game wasn't behaving the way it was supposed to. I didn't feel like half of those deaths were my fault.
Right. And now
I mean there were certainly deaths where I was like, oh, that was my bad because I stuck around too long.
Yeah.
Messing around with the weapons.
And now when we were testing this on my stream yesterday, I pretty much always felt like when I died, because I died a few times, but when I died I pretty much always felt like it was my fault.
Yep.
Like I was fussing around with the loadout because it was an unfamiliar loadout. Because I used encounter select to test the Rat King fight. And the problem with that is when you use encounter select, you don't choose the loadout and you don't set it up and you don't know what it is in advance.
Yep.
So I was very unfamiliar with it, and it's actually not the loadout I would have gone with. The hunting pistol is not even out in that initial loadout.
The hunting pistol or the flamethrower.
Or the flamethrower, yeah. It's like the shotgun.
That's like the one thing you want.
The shotgun. The shotgun, which is like the worst choice for that encounter.
You don't want the shotgun.
And the pistol, the light pistol, the military pistol. So, it's crazy. But anyway. it's vastly improved. I can't stress that enough. Plenty of proof on my stream that it was vastly improved. Yep. Looking forward to other people trying it and giving their opinions on it once they have the patch. But that's not the only thing.
I noticed too, doesn't relate to the wrecking, but I noticed that going back to like traversal stuff and navigation, I noticed it didn't seem like you were getting hung up on things anymore.
No, it didn't seem that way. I feel like I don't want to confirm like that's fixed, because like,
yeah,
you never know with stuff like that, because sometimes you just don't get stuck and it's awesome and that's great. But no, I you're right. I didn't feel like I got hung up as much as I used to. So maybe stuff like that's been tweaked. Mm-hmm. But if so, that's not really listed in the fixes. But it's, you know, who knows?
They actually did. Well, they did mention like changes to the way waypoints work for the navigational.
Wait, they did
assistance? Yes, they did. In the Can I Play That article? That was one of the things that they. That was one of the bullet points. What? Like, pretty sure.
I got the patch early, as a pretty much, you know that. Listeners know that because we just talked about me streaming it. And that came with a document that supposedly gave me a list of all the accessibility fixes.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And that wasn't one of them in the document that I got.
Huh. Interesting. Okay. But
maybe more. Here's the thing, though. Here's the interesting thing. Initially, the patch that I was supposed to test was patch 1.04. But when I got it, when I finally got it, and this the final patch that's coming out to the public is 1.05.
Ah, so maybe they noticed and tweaked a couple things.
Yeah, I'm wondering. Yeah, maybe that document was a 1.04 document, and they tweaked a couple things for 1.05, and that's one of them. So yeah, maybe waypoints do work differently. In which case, great, because yeah, I didn't seem to get hung up a lot anymore. So cool. So there you go. Other things, the melee weapon problem, where you would have a melee weapon, and you would scan one that was lower durability than the current one you had, and you'd walk to it, but since it was lower durability, you wouldn't be prompted to take it. That's been fixed now. Weapons that are lower durability than yours are not scanned at all, which is great.
Yay!
Also, additionally, with melee weapons, they are no longer considered special, which means they're no longer scanned as collectibles. They're just items.
That was one of the big ones that I had an issue with, because it was like, oh, there's a collectible.
Oh, it's a wrench, and I just spent 10 minutes underwater getting a wrench. That's what happened to me, because there's a wrench. Yep. It's always a wrench, too. There's a wrench right by the part where Ellie comes up out of the water in the hospital and kills the chick with the Vita, the PlayStation Vita chick.
Yep.
There's a wrench underwater right there by the ledge you climb up. And I spent like 10 minutes trying to get that freaking thing because I thought it was a collectible as a wrench. And it's always a wrench. So now you don't have to worry about that stuff. But also the inverse too, which I really like. So weapons, melee weapons are no longer considered special. Notes are now considered special, which is a good thing, because notes are considered artifacts by the game, which means they technically are collectibles.
Yeah.
You know, notes are things you want to look for as well.
I was always kind of curious why they weren't before. Like,
that seems weird. I agree. I don't know, but...
Oh, back to melee weapons for a second?
Yeah.
I don't know if this was in your thing. Now when you don't have a melee weapon...
Oh, it's auto pickup.
It's auto pickup.
Yep. Yes. That was in my thing.
Okay.
Yep, melee weapons are on out. If you don't have one, it's auto pickup. If you do... then you choose the swap.
Yep. Very nice.
Very nice indeed. Very nice. Let's see. Also, so I want to mention it, even though it didn't seem to work. I still want to mention it. It needs to be mentioned. It needs to be talked about still. So in amongst all the fixes is a feature that, unfortunately for me, didn't seem to function properly or didn't do what it was supposed to do or something. I don't know. But what they say is that 6 places, including downtown Seattle, Capitol Hill, the flooded streets, and 3 others that I'm can't think of what's on my head.
Seraphites.
Seraphites, yeah, that's what Seraphites is.
I don't remember the other two.
Six places have been modified specially for item tracking to work differently to help us find the side areas and things that we have usually miss in those areas.
Mm-hmm.
It's, in theory, that's really great, and I'm really glad to hear it, except it didn't seem to work. I played Downtown Seattle again, and I didn't find a single thing that was new.
Yeah.
A single thing. I went to all the places that I always go to every time I played Downtown Seattle. Every single place was just what I expected. And nothing new.
Yeah.
So no trophies yesterday like I was hoping for. I was hoping we'd finally get the Explore All Places in Downtown Seattle trophy.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't understand how it's supposed to work. I don't know if I'm doing something wrong or what.
I wish they had been more detailed on
how it's supposed
to work.
I need more elaboration on that.
Because maybe what we didn't try, it just occurred to me a couple minutes
ago. X and Triangle. I did try new buttons.
I was thinking maybe opening the map.
Oh, no, I didn't
try maybe something opening the map.
No, I didn't try that. But the thing is, that would only work in Downtown Seattle. What about the other places?
Oh, that's true. Oh, yeah, you're right.
Because Downtown Seattle is the only place that has a map.
Okay, never mind. What the heck? Yeah,
I don't know.
What the heck?
I don't know.
What the heck?
I definitely need some elaboration on that, because it didn't seem to work as advertised. But I'm glad they're working on it.
They know it's an issue. So
yeah, I'm glad they're working on it. So let's see. God, is there anything else? I feel like there is.
Those are the big ones. Oh yeah, another big one. Big one. The collectible tracker.
Oh yes. The collectible tracker now works for the blog.
Fixing that. Thank you.
Yes, indeed. So now if your collectible tracker feature is on. Collectibles you have picked up in a previous playthrough simply won't be scanned. And also, you won't get any prompts about them either. So apparently, even if you're navigating and you happen to stumble across a collectible, you just won't get a prompt to pick it up because you don't need to worry about it.
Good.
So,
good.
It's all good, man. It's all good. Yeah, I think that was it. I think that's the major ones. But that's still a lot of neat stuff.
They were busy. They were busy in that 2 months.
Yeah, they were absolutely busy. And I have already, being the person that I am, we did get, we have some feedback after my stream yesterday. Some things didn't work as expected, and some things surprised us a little bit. But I did submit that feedback already, because that's just who I am. I just need to do stuff like that all the time. So that feedback is already submitted. So, who knows what will come in the future. Oh, rope swinging also got a fix.
Except
I found a bug with it. Except I found a bug with it. But,
at least we figured out what the bug was.
Yeah, we figured out what the bug was, and we were able to utilize the new accessible version of Rope Swing, and it is much better.
Yeah.
Once you get past the bug, it's much better than it used to be. it just gives you the a constant distance jump cue, and as you swing. It will automatically jump when you reach the peak anyway. Yep. So you don't really need to worry about it.
Yay.
So it's kind of, I like it. I just prefer it that way.
That's fine.
Yep. It's just fine. It's better than having to try to fuss with it all the time,
Yeah.
I spent like a half hour
on it. That one playthrough. I was just like,
Yeah. Because I didn't want to skip it because I wanted to see if there was any possible way we could do it. I wanted to break it down and try to figure it out. And we did figure it out.
Yeah.
But it took a lot, and it was just like it was not fun. Yeah. But now it's again once you get past the bug, which I'm sure they'll fix that too, because I submitted that as feedback as well.
Mm-hmm.
But once you get past that, it's super great. It's fine. It's easy. It's easy now.
Yeah.
All right. So that's the Last of Us 2 patch. We talked a lot about that, but it's a big freaking patch, guys.
It's a big patch. I can't wait for this patch, man.
It blows my mind. This is patch 1.05. Like, what does say? What does a 1.1 look like if a 1.05 is this big?
Yeah.
Like, what the heck, man? It's freaking Naughty Dog, dude.
Oh, Naughty Dog. So good.
All right. So I wanted to give a little teeny tiny little update about Disco Elysium, because we've talked about it on the podcast before, but we haven't really like tracked it on the podcast. Like, we haven't discussed it in as you know, in development. So this is just to say that the developers of Disco Elysium are indeed slowly working on trying to make it accessible, I think. Like, I believe they're taking it seriously from what they've done so far.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to, we don't have to talk about it in great detail, but I just wanted to say that so far, they have begun implementing keyboard controls for the game, like broad scope keyboard controls. So you can actually move with the keyboard, you can look at things with the keyboard, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So that's where they are right now. But it sounds like, from what I've heard from Blind Ryan, it sounds like they're still going and they're still working and they're still trying to make it accessible. So
yeah,
kudos to them. I just want to give them a quick shout out.
Patching inaccessibility is always harder than
why it's a slow process, you know, because it's probably taking them a lot. I can't imagine what keyboard controls must have taken them in a game like that.
Oh yeah. And that's why I have to point out to people, like, oh man, it would be awesome to have World of Warcraft, you know, accessibility. And it's like, well, I hate to break it to you, but that's not going to happen.
Yeah, just not because likely.
Of how reliant World of Warcraft is on the mouse.
Yeah, the reason, honestly, the only reason that you and I, at least, still hold out hope for Hearthstone is because Hearthstone would be the easiest one of the bunch of Blizzard's games to make accessible.
Right.
And Hearthstone's a game they update a lot. They update it often.
Yeah.
So
because it has a big esports scene.
Right. So. Right. So it's not unthinkable that they might consider patching in accessibility to a game that is relatively simple to patch it into. I mean, comparatively to the other options.
Right.
And
I mean, it's nothing but menus. So theoretically, it should be fairly easy-ish.
I think the toughest part will be the battlefield aspect, because one of the things about Hearthstone is when you play a card, it actually has a physical position on the battlefield.
Oh.
So the battlefield is kind of like a grid. So like, if you want to attack someone else's card, I believe you have to use the card that is across from it. Like your card that is across from the person you want to attack.
Oh,
you have to use that card.
Okay.
Or if you have an area of effect that affects maybe a small, a small swath of cards, you have to choose what part of the opponent's battlefield that affects based on where your card is.
Okay.
So that's probably that would probably be the toughest part.
Yeah.
Still doable, but you know, it's not. I guess what I'm getting at is it's not just menus. It's there's also that battlefield aspect to it too.
I didn't realize there was
that. It's mostly menus.
Yeah.
It's mostly menus. So you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely, if you were to pick any game from Blizzard, that'd be the one that would be seems most likely.
Yep, and hopefully Diablo 4. I hope.
I mean, yeah. Let's hope. I mean, I don't know. There's nothing wrong with hoping. I guess.
Hey,
there's nothing wrong with hoping.
Whatever. Did Diablo Immortal ever freaking come out?
No, it's still not. It's still not out yet. But they actually have talked about it recently.
Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah. So they're starting to throw out occasional updates about it and say, hey, it still exists. Don't worry about it. It's still a thing.
The late April Fool's joke.
Yeah, right.
Of Diablo Immortal.
Man.
Oh, boy.
I don't know. Boy. What if it turns out to be good? What if Diablo Immortal is good?
I have serious doubts, but
accessible, what if it's good? Like what if it like becomes super popular and people play all over the world just start playing Diablo Immortal all the time?
Jeez, I don't know. Man.
What will we do then? Like, oh sorry.
Diablo with microtransactions though. Ooh.
I know.
Ooh, no.
It's not appealing. Not appealing.
I mean, they tried that with the auctioneer, with the real life auction house, and that
it did not go over very well.
Oh, that did not go over well at all.
People did not like it, except for the people that had enough money to just buy all the best gear in the game. They liked it a lot.
Yep.
Oof. Oh man, those are the days. Anyway, moving on to a little game that this actually just happened today, by the way.
Yep.
Breaking news. A new audio game has come out today. And it's an audio game that I had a small amount of input on in the beginning of its development. They tapped me to get an idea of what, because this is a developer's first effort of making an audio game, which is really respectable. No matter what game it is, it's super respectable that a developer is willing to give that a shot.
Yep.
So, yes, there's an audio game. It's called Code Dungeon.
Code Dungeon.
It is a small game, but again, it's still an audio game, and it's super cool this developer decided to take that route. It is essentially a hack and slash game with a dungeon that has four levels, and essentially, as far as I understand it, that's basically all it is. But I think it's cool. I think it uses some unique ideas, like it uses the mouse, for instance, which actually is an unfortunate thing for me because I don't have a mouse. I have a laptop.
You can bind. I don't think you actually absolutely have to use the mouse. You can actually bind.
Oh, you can bind the sword.
You can bind the sword. Yep.
Oh, okay. I hope so.
You can, because I bound it to my control keys.
Well, then good for you being all smart and stuff. all right. Well, that's good then. I'll give it a shot then as well. Yeah. So, little audio game, but just really awesome that it's out there, and really awesome that this is starting to happen now. Like,
yeah,
developers are starting to reach out and see what they can do with the audio game idea. And I know there's already been a thing called Audio Game Jam, but I feel more involved in this movement now than ever before, because even though Audio Game Jam existed, the people that worked on it still didn't really tap a lot of the blind community. They just kind of did it.
Yeah.
But
they
now
just took ideas and was like, I think this is how this would work.
Let's do this in audio. Maybe it'll work. Maybe it won't. Mm-hmm. And there's some hit and miss games that came out of Audio Game Jam. But nevertheless, this person reached out to me first, then reached out to audiogames.net to get more ideas and more feedback. And yeah, here we go. We have an audio game.
Yep.
So check it out. It's free, by the way. Code Dungeon is free and can be downloaded from itch.io. So look it up, check it out, download it, play it, do it now, right?
Good
now.
Stuff
immediately. Okay. So that's all the accessibility news that I have.
Spill news.
But as always, Sterlock, do you have anything else you want to throw at the end there?
I do not.
One thing I will mention real quick. Good god, I love Slay the Spire. I just want to say that.
Oh, isn't that great?
Dude, This morning, I just finished, completed, and won I slew the spire with the defect.
Ooh.
And I'm going to take a moment on this freaking podcast to just be happy for myself, and I'm going to talk about how the fight with the boss at the end ended.
Did you have another moment like you did on stream where like it came down to the wire?
Kinda. So here's the thing. I just want to go over this. I would have lost the fight if it hadn't been for the fairy in a bottle that I happened to have.
Ooh.
Which brought me back to life with 20% of my health.
Oh.
I would have lost the fight.
Wow.
Now, here's how I won the fight. So, came back to life. By the way, I died at the same time, because of the way the defect works with all the lightning channeling and whatnot, I died at the same time as the boss's first form died.
Wow.
So I was brought back to life at the same time as it was, you know, it was the awakened boss.
Yeah, yeah.
I was brought back to life at the same time as his second iteration was.
Oh, wow.
So that happens. So he has, keep in mind that he has 300
hit 300 points. Health, yep.
Okay, keep that in mind. You're going to need to know that.
That's a lot.
You're going to need to know that. So, he is threatening to... I have 18 health at this point. He is threatening to attack me with 48 attack. It's going to be very painful to me if it succeeds.
Yep.
So, I try to prepare. I do a couple of defensive things. I don't have much in the way of defense in my hand this turn. But I have prepared some stuff in advance. Thanks to the static discharge card, almost every time, because I didn't get it right away, but I got it like pretty quick in the combat. Almost every time he hurt me, I channeled more lightning. Thanks to the storm card, every time I activated a power, I channeled more lightning. Thanks to rainbow, I channeled more lightning, along with dark and frost. Thanks to, you know, other cards like ball lightning, zap, blah, 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 I channeled more lightning. Now, at this point, I lost count of how much lightning I had channeled. So I, believe me when I tell you, when I enacted this plan, I didn't actually know it was going to work. But here's what I did. There's a card called Hologram. Hologram. What Hologram does is, first of all, it gives you a little tiny bit of defense, which is fine, but that's not its real purpose. It also makes you put a card on the bottom of your draw pile. But it also makes it so that card, when drawn, will cost you nothing. It will cost you zero next time you play it. I used that, and I put... No, sorry. Oh, no, sorry. The card that makes you put a card on the bottom of your draw pile is not Hologram. It is... Hologram is how you draw... How you can choose what card you draw. Hologram is the second card in this equation. What is it called? Oh, my God. What is that called? It makes you put a card on the bottom of your draw pile, and then it costs zero next time you play it. Oh, Forethought. Forethought. Ah. It's called Forethought. Forethought itself costs you zero, by the way. So it costs nothing. Ooh. You put a card on the bottom of your draw pile, but when you draw it, you can play it for zero, whatever that card was. So Forethought, I put Thunderstrike at the bottom of my draw pile. Then Hologram allows you to pick any card that's in your draw pile and put it in your hand. So I picked Thunderstrike. Which now cost me zero energy. Now, thanks to the orbs I'd been channeling, I had already done some damage to him, so he was down to, I think, something like 278 health still. Like, he starts at 300, he's down to 278, because some of the orbs I was channeling during my attempt to kind of try to defend myself just in case this didn't work, it wouldn't have worked, by the way. If it didn't work, I would have died. Like, the defense I could have managed at the time with the hand that I had, it wouldn't have been enough, but I still tried to defend myself a little bit. So I had channeled a couple of things, and because of that, some lightning got evoked, and he was down to about 278. Then I used Thunderstrike. Thunderstrike, for those who don't know, is a very special card. Thunderstrike costs you 3 energy normally, but it costs me nothing. And what it does is it does 7 damage. Oh, but wait! It does 7 damage for every lightning that has been channeled during the entire combat. Thunderstrike killed him outright.
Wow.
270 plus
damage. Oh my god.
Oh, man. By the way, a little bit of this that I forgot to mention. Before that fight even started, I had upgraded static discharge, and upgraded static discharge does something special. It normally static discharge, when you get hit with unblocked attack damage, it channels 1 lightning. Upgraded, every hit that is unblocked channels 2 lightnings.
So, oh God! Yeah, no wonder you destroyed him.
Killed him outright. Wow. His second form didn't get a turn. It felt so
That's
good.
Amazing. Oh, what
that
a
is,
great.
That is my Slay the Spire story. I just had to mention it on the show because, God, that it's game so, is accessible and it's just so good.
Slay the Spire. So I can't wait for Gaspar's mom.
I know. I want it. I want it. I want it a lot. I'm looking forward to playing that game like at a faster, kind of higher level with that mod. Because I feel like that's what's going to happen. Because I feel like I'm going to feel really comfortable with that mod once it comes out, once he's done with it. But, you know, all in good time. All in good time.
Slay the Spire is so good.
I'm probably going to play more of it today. I'm not going to lie. I'm just I'm not going to lie. All right. So that's all I have. I think that's all we're going to talk about today. Let's do an outro, though, and we'll get on out here for this week. And this has been episode 53 of the Breakdown Walls podcast. 53 is in, I don't know. It's still tough. Don't know. 53 is in a number. Yep. 53 is in significantly less damage than I did the boss of Slay the Spire.
I can't believe he didn't get a turn.
53 is so cool. 53 is in probably the amount of times he was struck by lightning when I did Thunderstrike on him.
Yep.
It was ridiculous, dude. It was ridiculous.
And that's just the damage you saw. You don't see overkill damage.
Yeah, no, you don't see overkill damage. Fires, that's so true. All I know is that it killed him. I don't know how much more it would have done. And the cool thing is, you get to hear it play out. Like, you actually get a sound effect for every single one that hits him.
Oh, so cool.
I got to be nervous the whole time. It was going... Yeah. And finally, it was like... I was like, I did it. Oh man, it's so cool. But anyway, this has been episode 53 of the Breakdown Walls podcast. We hope you like this show, guys. We hope you enjoy listening to the show every week because we enjoy making it. It's a fun part of our week. It's something we look forward to all the time, and we have a blast doing it. So as always, thank you guys for listening so very much. And as always, you're welcome to provide feedback. You're welcome to send voice messages. You're welcome to do whatever you like because we'd love to discuss topics that you bring up on the show as well. So yeah, cool things. Still working on getting a guest. If I have anything to say about it, it's going to be someone from Naughty Dog. Still working on it. Like I said, a lot of them felt like taking a break, which is cool. I respect that a great deal. But we'll see what we can do. Other than that, thank you guys for listening. Who knows what will happen in the wonderful world of gaming from now until the next week. But until then, I'm Brandon Cole, and I think he's Stirlock, last I checked.
Yep.
You're still Stirlock. Okay, good.
Yep, still.
And we will see you next week.